Well, good evening and welcome to this broadcast on behalf of the Christians who meet at their Leven Gospel Hall. My name is Ken Munro and I'm delighted to have been asked by the Christians at Inner Leven to share in their Sunday night gospel service this evening. We're going to read shortly from the Word of God, but before we do so, could we just bow our heads and pray together? Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee that even in times that are very unusual for us, we give Thee thanks that we're able to meet and to spread the gospel in this way. We thank Thee that we're able to commit one another to Thee. We think of the situation that our country finds itself in, and we pray that the authorities might be given wisdom as they would seek to deal with uncharted territory and unknown circumstances. We pray very particularly for healthcare workers and those who are in the front line of the NHS, and pray that Thou will bless them and preserve them as they would deal with very ill patients. And our Father, we think of our country of Scotland here, we think of the Scottish Government, and we think of the people of this country. And we again pray that Thou wouldst have mercy upon this nation. We pray that even in this time of difficulty, when people have more time to think about such matters, that there may be those who will think about their soul. And we pray that even tonight, as we return to Thy Word, that it might be blessed by Thee, and that perhaps those who would listen to this broadcast might come to realise the importance of coming to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in knowing their sins forgiven, and knowing peace with Thee. And so, our God, we commit our country to Thee, we commit each one watching this broadcast to Thee, and we pray for Thy blessing upon our consideration of Thy Word this evening, for we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to turn now to the Word of God, and I want to read an old-fashioned Bible story with you this evening. It's one of the most exciting stories, in my opinion, in the Word of God, and you'll find it, if you want to follow the reading, in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament part of your Bible, and we'll be reading in chapter 27. It is quite a long story, so although we'll read quite extensively, we won't read the whole of the chapter just for the sake of time, but we'll begin at the beginning, as always, as is always good with a story, in verse 1 of Acts chapter 27. And just to set the scene, the main character in this story is the Apostle Paul, and he has been arrested by the authorities. He has been had false witnesses put up against him at his trial, and as a consequence of that, and exercising his right as a Roman citizen, the Apostle Paul has appealed to Caesar. Now, it was a major step, but he has appealed to Caesar, and he is now under armed escort on his way to Rome to be tried by Caesar. And that's really where we begin with in verse 1 of Acts chapter 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myria, a city of Lycia. And when the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and had put us therein, and when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, we came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fail into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And then what we have is an account of a dreadful storm that the Apostle Paul and his companions find themselves in. And we're going to break back into the reading at perhaps... We'll break back into the reading at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." And then there's a further account of the storm. They're 14 days into this storm now, and the various incidents occur, breaking back in at verse 33. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, to take food, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some food, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they of all of good cheer, and they also took some food. And we were in all, in the ship, 216 souls." And so they ultimately run the ship aground, and it begins to break up, verse 42. "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But when the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta." And perhaps it's a little cruel to perhaps run through all of these place names that perhaps you'd been hoping to go to on holiday in the summertime to some of these, and with the COVID-19 crisis, all these holiday plans have been put on hold. But we've been reading about all of these Mediterranean islands and locations that many of us have, well, some of you may have visited. I've not visited many of the ones that we're reading about here, but Cyprus and parts of the Turkish coast and the island of Rhodes and over to Crete and then to Malta, all of these holiday islands. But it was no holiday that the Apostle Paul was on. Here he was, being already on a horrible journey, as it were, going to face trial in front of Caesar Nero in Rome, and he's caught in this dreadful storm, and it almost looks as if all in the ship will lose their life, but ultimately they're all saved, and they all arrive on land in Malta. And of course, it's an exciting story, and I recommend reading it through in full, because you'll find it is a very interesting account there at the end of the Acts of the Apostles. And yet there are lessons, I believe, in this story for us this evening. You see, the Apostle Paul, as they set out, the centurion puts them into the ship, and they set out to head to Rome. And because the wind, these were sailing ships that they were sailing in, so they were very subject to wind direction, and they found it really hard to ultimately even get as far as a Crete. They'd sailed past Cyprus, and they were now arrived at Crete. But they were into a small town called Fair Havens, and in that location, the Apostle Paul brings to them for the first time a word from God. And he says, it really would be very unwise to go any further. You really should stop here. You should really pause. You shouldn't try and press on any further. I perceive God has revealed to me that it's going to be with great loss if you go on. But we read that the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And so they had another opinion. They had a better idea. They said, this port isn't a very convenient place. It's not a good place to spend the winter. We'd be better going on round the coast a bit to a more commodious port with more facilities. And it seemed at first that they were right. The south wind blew softly, and they thought that everything was just lined up for them to go, and all of a sudden, bang, they're straight into a storm. And they're blown up and down the Adriatic, backwards and forwards across the Mediterranean, and ultimately Paul brings another word to them, but we'll come to that in a moment. But the first lesson that I wanted us to learn is, I don't know who I'm speaking to this evening. That is one, I suppose, of the beauties of a broadcast like this, is I am genuinely speaking to an unknown audience. And yet, I suspect that many of you, this will not be the first time that you will have encountered the message of the gospel. And this won't be the first time that you have heard of a need of salvation. You see, I want to apply this story and Paul's experience to, if you like, the story of our lives, the ups and the downs, the incidents that happen. But very often in the life of each individual, there will come a point where the word of God comes to you with a particular force. I believe that happens to all of us at some point in our life, that the word of God comes to us with a particular force, with a particular urgency. And it's as if it's saying, stop, don't go any further. You have a need that needs to be addressed. And you say, well, what is this need that needs to be addressed? Well, if I'm speaking to those who regularly attend a gospel meeting, perhaps at Inner Leaven Gospel Hall, perhaps elsewhere, I'm sure that you have been told that every single one of us, there is a, as it were, a crisis in our lives. There is a problem in our lives. There is a difficulty that we need to address. And that is the sin that characterizes each one of us. Every single one of us are found sinners in the sight of God. And the Bible sets that out very, very clearly. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're all found in this same condition. Just like all these men were in one boat, they were all in the same boat, quite literally, we're all in the same boat too. We're all found sinners in the sight of God. And what's more, the Bible tells us, and this is very often where we're brought up short, the Bible tells us that no sinner can ever enter heaven. No sinner can have a proper relationship with God. Every single one of us are found separated from God. And naturally speaking, we are separated from God by the sin in our lives. And very often there comes that point in the experience of every individual, and you come to realize that. It's called conviction of sin. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to work with an individual and begins to warn them and say, stop, don't go any further. You need to deal with this issue. There is a problem of sin. You see, how can I deal with the problem of my sin? Well, that is one of the great wonders of the message of the gospel and why we love to preach it. And it is because God has provided a means whereby sin can be dealt with for every individual. The Bible says that God hath placed, made to meet upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. That God has caused his Son to carry the sin of every individual. The Apostle Peter, writing in the New Testament, he says, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place when he went to the cross at Calvary. And that is the wonderful message of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to a cross at Calvary, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there is a means whereby every single individual listening to this broadcast, indeed every single individual in this world, God has provided a means whereby you can be made right with himself. And his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken your sin upon his own shoulders. They bore it on a cross, and God punished his Son for sin that he never committed. Well, the Bible tells us that very clearly. It says that God hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. He made him to be sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that is the wonder of the message of the gospel, that God has provided a means whereby every single individual can find peace with him. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you have been at that point where you have realized, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need to have my sins forgiven. Yes, I need to be right with God. Yes, I understand that Jesus Christ has died upon a cross for me. I've heard that message of the gospel. And perhaps you did nothing about it. Perhaps you ignored it. Perhaps you set that message to one side. You know, you wouldn't be the only one to have done that. On a famous occasion, the Apostle Paul was preaching in the on Mars Hill, as it calls it in our authorized or King James version of the Bible, in Athens. And there, as he preached, it says that the response, he told them about Jesus and the resurrection. I know Simon was telling you last week of the wonderful story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching the message of Jesus and the resurrection. And it says that some mocked him. And it says that some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. And thankfully it says that some believed. But you know, the vast majority fall into those first two categories. Those who mock, perhaps you don't fall into that category. But perhaps you do fall into the category of those who say, we will hear thee again of this matter. And you know, one of the things when we study the Bible is there is no guarantee that there will be another opportunity to hear of this matter. That's why the gospel message is an urgent message. It is an important message, because if you were to go out into eternity for whatever reason, I'm well aware that people are more conscious of eternal issues at the moment, but every day of our life, coronavirus or not, we never know when our allotted span may be up. And we go out into eternity and we have to meet God. And the question is, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we in a position? Are our sins forgiven? Are we ready to meet God? Because if we're not, the Bible tells us that to die in our sins means eternal separation from God. There is no possibility of being found in heaven. And that is a solemn part of the gospel message. And yet we want to focus on the positive this evening. We want to share the importance of the fact that you can be right with God. You can have your sins forgiven. And that's why we're sharing this message, that you might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal saviour. And so the messages come out time and again. And the question is, are you going to respond? Are you going to believe? Are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your saviour? But Paul brought a message to these sailors, to the centurion, to the master of the ship. He told them that he had received a word from God, and that for them to carry on would spell disaster in their lives. For them to carry on, they would suffer great loss. And yet, having heard that message, they believed their own opinion. The centurion believed the master of the ship. After all, he was surely the expert. And we have lots of people in our world today who will give you lots of opinions. And you may choose to listen to some of them. Some of them will tell you there's no God. There's no heaven. There's no hell. I was listening. Indeed, I wasn't listening, but I heard it coming on the radio. John Lennon's song. Imagine there's no heaven. Do you know, I switch the radio off every time I hear that song coming on. I can't stand to listen to it. For it's so tragic that an individual would delude themselves and carry on in life. And yet there are many people who will tell you just that. Many people who will tell you there's nothing to worry about. Life's meaningless. There's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no eternal consequences. And yet I believe that deep within the heart of every individual, we know that we are more than just the molecules that make up this body. We are more than just a few years upon this earth. You have a soul that will live the lifetime of God, that is eternal in its character. And where it spends eternity is absolutely fundamental. And that decision is made on earth, in time. And that is why it is an urgent message, and why it is an important message, and why it is a very serious matter to choose to believe our own opinion, or to listen to the advice of others and seek to go our own way instead of listening to the voice of God. And that's what this centurion and the sailors did. And they move out from this place called the Fair Havens. Imagine if they'd stayed there. Imagine the happiness as they saw the storm raging all around them, and yet they were safe on dry land. You know, there was an old friend of mine. He's gone to heaven many years ago now. But he used to say, it's great to be saved. It was a phrase that he used all the time. It's great to be saved. And you know, it is great to be saved. It's great to have your sins forgiven and to know that you have peace with God. And when storms come, whether that is coronavirus or the other storms that come in life, it is great to know that you are right with God, regardless of what happens, no matter what happens. And you can see the storm raging around, and yet you know that you're safe. You're like in the parable of the Lord Jesus, the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and you're secure and you're safe. But these men didn't do that. They set sail. They missed that chance. And they set sail in their boat. And as we see from our story, they found themselves in the midst of a great storm. And they found themselves there, having moved against the word of God. You know, difficulties come in life to Christians and to non-Christians. I've said already, it's a wonderful thing to be in the storms of life and to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you in the storms. But to go through life and to have to experience those storms and to have no certainty, to have no confidence, and not to know your sins forgiven, and not to know that regardless of what happens, it will be well with your soul, that's an awful situation to be in. These sailors found themselves in the midst of a storm and they had no confidence, but there was a man who was with them who did. And he can say, I believe God. And he brings them the word of God again. In the midst of the storm, he brings them the word of God again. I don't know the circumstances in your life. And again, I don't know who I'm speaking to. But maybe I am speaking to someone who's in the midst of a storm in their life. Can I bring you a word from God in the midst of the storm? Perhaps you've passed up opportunities in the past to get saved. Can I urge you this evening to make this the occasion when you trust Christ as your Saviour? And you don't turn away from the Word of God another time, but rather that you place your faith, your trust, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you commit everything to Him and you accept Him as your Lord and Master, and you will have your sins forgiven. You will find peace with God, and you will have that confidence in the midst of the storm. I'm not saying the storm will be taken away. I'm not saying that immediately everything will be a great calm. But what you will have is you will have the Lord Jesus with you in the midst of the circumstances in which you're found. And you will know His help and you will know His comfort in the circumstances that you're found in. And these sailors, the second time that Paul brings the Word of God to them, this time they listen to Him. Does this ship is driven by the storm? Does it crashes into dry land? Does the ship begins to break up underneath their very feet? These men are saved at the very last minute. It says on broken boards and some on pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass, they all escaped safe to land. You know, they did suffer loss. They had an opportunity to be saved early in life, and that decision had consequences. And the decision to not accept the Word of God the first time we hear it, not to trust Him when the gospel message first hits home at us, it does have consequences. There will be parts of life that can never be recovered again, that are lost, that could have been walked in company with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can never go back. But what we can do is, in the circumstance in which we are found, we can choose to believe God. You could choose right now to believe God, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, to accept Him for yourself and to know your sins forgiven. You say, how can I do this? The Bible tells us that getting saved, it requires us to acknowledge that I am a sinner. The Bible calls that repentance. Repentance towards God. And then faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Saviour. And the Bible says, if we trust Him, if we acknowledge that we are sinners and we trust Him, we will be saved. We will have our sins forgiven. Here's another verse from the Bible for me. From Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There you go. There's a promise from God. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord in your life, believing genuinely in your heart that He died upon a cross, was buried, and that He rose again the third day, the Bible says you will be saved. What a promise. Would you claim it tonight? Would you take it? Would you accept Him as your own and personal Saviour? And it might be that you're just there, right, maybe towards the end of life's journey, and it's almost as if on broken pieces of the ship and on boards, you're going to get to dry land, but if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get there. Be like the Apostle Paul and say, I believe God, and accept Him for yourself, and you can have the knowledge of sins forgiven, and you can have peace with God. Oh, dear friend, we would encourage you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight. Not to put it off any longer. Not to be foolish like the centurion. Maybe I'm speaking to a younger person this evening. You've got the whole of life stretching out before you. Maybe for the first time, the conviction of sin is striking home tonight. You're becoming to realise, I need salvation. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let it go past you. You don't want to make a shipwreck of your life, and maybe, if God is very gracious to you, to have the opportunity further on in life, as it were on a broken board, a broken piece of the ship, to finally make your way into heaven, that's not how you want to get there. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, early in life if you can. Accept Him as your Saviour. But if you're already past that stage, maybe you're thinking, it's too late for me. I've gone too far. I'm too deep into sin. Let me tell you, friend, there is still a place for you. there is still an opportunity for you. There is still safety in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And there is still an opportunity to get saved. Trust Him tonight. We look to the Lord to bless His word. We thank you very much for watching this broadcast. We're just going to close with a short word of prayer now, and then our little service is over. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee that salvation is available to each and every individual. We do pray that as the message of the gospel has gone out again over YouTube this evening, we pray that Thou wouldst bless it to every individual who hears this message. We do pray that if there are those who have perhaps chosen to ignore Thy word in the past, gone on without Thee, not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, that tonight Thou wouldst be so gracious to them, and pray that Thou wouldst give them that further opportunity, that tonight they might trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and tonight, as it were, they might come safe to land. Lord God, we just pray for Thy blessing to be upon our country and upon all who are listening to this gospel. Be gracious to us. We recognise that as a country we have turned away from Thee. We recognise that so many are seeking to do their own thing and think, their, have their own view and move in their own wisdom. Lord God, we pray that there might be those who would say with the Apostle Paul, I believe God. Our Father, we thank Thee for the gospel message. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the way of salvation. And we pray for Thy blessing to be upon Thy word tonight. For we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.